If you just knew where the traps were in life, perhaps you could avoid them. That's the premise of a new book called Trap Tales, Outsmarting the Seven Hidden Obstacles to Success. One of the traps, perhaps no surprise, is the money trap. The book's co-author, David Covey, joins us now from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello there, David.
How you doing, Bruce?
You are a Covey, as in Stephen Covey, the author of The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Did you consider, for even a second, using the number 6 or 8 in the title of your book?
It wasn't even an option. Even if I had tried to do it, if I had 6, somehow 7 would have emerged.
7 would have emerged.
If I had 8, it would have been reduced down to 7. Except for my father did have the 8th habit, so maybe there is an 8th trap somewhere in the world.
The magic is there somewhere. Well, I'm going to focus on the money trap, but before I drill down into that, I want to ask you about what you call the basic traits of traps. That sounds like the foundation for everything you say.
Yes. It's the characteristics of a trap. So, you know, really these are traps that people fall into both in life and work, and they're seductive. There's four characteristics. Seductive, lures you in unknowingly. They're deceptive. So you think that the short-term gratification will lead to, it eventually leads to long-term pain. They're sticky. They're like quicksand. You know, they are easy to fall into and hard to get out. And they're limiting. You know, the trap really limits you from progressing towards your goals and the success we seek in our life.
So what is the money trap?
So the money trap is the trap that is the quicksand of debt. And, there's three reasons why we fall into the money trap or the debt trap. First of all, we have, money myopia. You know, we want to live in the now, and so we can't wait for anything. We have to have it now. We have this competitive consumption mentality. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we see everybody around us that has all that stuff, and we want that stuff as well, so we try to keep up with them. And then also we're in denial. The biggest challenge with debt is we think that worst-case scenarios don't apply to us until they actually happen.
Right.
And then we find ourselves in debt, and we're in, paying all this interest, and it's just a killer trap that limits so many people. So, really in life, especially young people, make a decision whether you're going to be a person that's going to be paying interest or making interest. Albert Einstein called compound interest the 8th wonder of the world. And it is. If you can start now when you're young, when you're 20 or 30, and say, you know what, I'm going to be in the business of making interest instead of paying interest.
Right.
And staying entirely out of the debt trap.
The line that caught my attention was, why budgeting doesn't work. In my world, that's kind of sacrilegious. What exactly do you mean?
It's very sacrilegious. So in each one of the traps, we have the conventional approach of how to get out of the trap. And then we have what we call the epiphany breakthrough, which is really the new insight that's going to lead to a breakthrough in the behavior. So the for the money trap, the conventional approach is to say, hey, budget, be disciplined, exercise restraint. And I'm not saying there's nothing; those aren't good things. They are good things. I'm just saying budgeting is a lot like New Year's resolutions. They sound great. You have a lot of fanfare and kick it off in a big way. But
and then the champagne wears off, and you wake up with a massive headache. I think that's how New Year's goes, right?
And willpower is overrated. And I'm saying you have to make debt more interesting and fun and more engaging. I mean, it sounds strange saying that, but you can get the family around it and other people excited around, reducing the debt. And by creating a scoreboard, we suggest in the book to create a debt snake, a debt paper snake. And as you make progress on, reducing your debt, you start cutting up the snake. You have it like in $1,000 increments for the debt that you have, whether it be consumer debt or credit card debt. And I'm saying that is a far more effective way in getting out of debt than budgeting.
I love this example of the snake. I think it's visual. It's practical. Why a snake? Where did the idea of the snake come from?
Well, it was just the idea of, the snake is, maybe people saw some Disney and they remember Ka, the snake, is just trying to strangle Mowgli, the boy. You know, the snake is, you know, it's kind of fits those descriptions of a trap, and it can choke you. You know, literally, debt is suffocating, and it's just so harmful to you. So we just thought it would be a good metaphor to have something where you have this snake that you need to kill in your life. So. I don't know. I'm sure there's a few people out there that like snakes, but most people are like Harrison Ford, you know, where they say, and you know, that movie he was in, that, you know, I hate snakes. And
right.
So I think most people would rather get rid of snakes than keep their pet snakes.
Right. The Indiana Jones. And you're actually talking about a craft here. Like you're making a snake out of paper, putting it up somewhere and snipping it off in inches as you bring that debt down. Your character in this book involves his kids. Do you really think it's realistic to expect that kind of engagement from kids? I read it and thought, wow, like there's a lot of unicorns and rainbows floating around in that world. My 7-year-old would be like, mm-mm, not playing.
So absolutely there is. And this story in the book actually emerges from my own life story. So not everything about Alex is related to me, but there's a lot of stuff in the book that's related to me. But this particular story, we found ourselves, our family, we had $90,000 of credit card debt. We got carried away with trying to get points and getting all these rewards and so forth. And before we knew it, we had $90,000 of credit card debt. And it was totally suffocating. We tried budgeting for a while. And my wife and I would just fight over it. And, you know, we got in more arguments and we weren't very successful with that. And so we created this snake. I think it was my wife that came up with the idea of the snake and then put it in our kitchen and family room. It was very visible. It was very present. And it, you know, people would come over to our house and they'd see this huge paper snake in our family room and kitchen area. And our kids at that time, I had 4 kids. I have 7 now. Of course, I got to have 7, right? 7
of course.
Kids.
Absolutely.
But, I had 4 kids and the kids were so involved in it, they would ask, you know, they would want to know when the, you know, credit card statements were going to come out. This was kind of before everything was, you know, done pretty much online, but they, you know, want to know where the credit card statements are and see what we could reduce. They wanted to be the ones that cut up the snake.
Head first or tail first?
Not mom and I. And they would say stuff like, you know, well, I'd like to buy this, but, you know, that would just add to our snake. So I don't want to do that. I'd rather cut up that lousy old snake. So no, I don't want to get that Lego set that, you know, that costs $129. I'm gonna wait, Dad. And I was shocked. I was totally shocked because I was not expecting this at all from my kids. I thought that I would not be able to engage them, and it was the opposite. They were totally engaged, totally interested, got them involved in it. And, you know, if you had a family, it's hard to just do it alone. You can't go alone. You know, you got to have people on board, and if you can get your spouse and your kids on board, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah. Did they cut off the head first or the tail first?
Well, the head didn't get we got to burn the head. So it was the tail first, and then we started cutting up the body. And then at the end, once all the debt is gone, then you can have a little fire and you can burn the head. And, you know, the head was like this 10-inch head, very colorful, and they put jewels on it. And
what an amazing ritual.
It was a big event when we burned the snake's head.
David, I really appreciate you joining us. I wish we had more time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
David Covey is co-author of Trap Tales, Outsmarting the 7 Hidden Obstacles to Success, including putting a snake up on your wall.